This is The Guardian.
Today, 14 years after The Blind Side was a box office hit, the lawsuit alleging the story behind the film was a big lie.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's 2009. Barack Obama is the US president. The number one song in America is Fireflies by Owl City. No, I don't remember it either. People are still going to cinemas, and millions are turning out to see a film starring Sandra Bullock called The Blind Side, based on a best-selling book. And Andrew Lawrence, a senior writer with The Guardian, was among them.
The film is about a Southern belle who happened upon a black high schooler.
Big Mike, why were you going to the gym?
Because it's warm.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
And through her grit and determination, molded this guy into a college football star and a future NFL pro.
Tony, here's your quarterback, all right? You protect his blind side. When you look at him, you think of me, how you have my back, how you have his, okay?
Yeah, pretty cringy in retrospect. But it's easy to forget that back then, The Blind Side was a big deal.
It was incredibly successful.
Blind Side is the underdog hit of the film world this season.
I believe it is the most successful sports movie about football of all time.
And they were number one 3 weeks after it opened, even surpassed Twilight in ticket sales.
Made well over $300 million at the box office.
When my wife and I saw the movie, we both just were blown away by how powerful the story is. And I think what even makes it more just touching is that it's true.
In addition to that, it was a incredibly unlikely, and I cannot stress this enough, incredibly unlikely Oscar darling.
And the winner is Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side.
It was a true upset, critically and commercially.
But there's so many people to thank, not enough time, so I would like to thank what this film was about for me, which are the moms that take care of the babies and the children no matter where they come from.
There were critics at the time, Drew included.
It also treated Michael, imbued him with the intelligence of a two-cell organism. Even as the film begins, the camera really like singles in on his body parts and the things that sort of make him exceptional. And so right away, the audience is meant to understand him as a commodity and not a person.
Now, a lawsuit filed by the man at the heart of the film, the former NFL player Michael Orr, alleges The Blind Side wasn't just embarrassing. It was based on a lie. And the story it told about Michael continues to haunt him more than a decade later. From The Guardian, I'm Michael Safi. Today in Focus, The Blind Side and Hollywood's Blind Spot. Drew, can you start by telling me about the time you met Michael Orr? What was he like as a person?
So in 2009, I met him midway through that NFL season. I was sent for Sports Illustrated to Baltimore, the team that had drafted him, basically about him trying to make a name for himself. It turned the page from the attention that he had garnered through this best-selling book. And it just so happened that the sort of time frame in his professional life that I came to meet him was you know, days ahead of the movie's premiere.
What was the real Michael like? What kind of person was he like?
He was incredibly measured, the kind of person who, you know, sizes you up before he starts to reveal himself. I found him to be incredibly bright, very dry, witted. A number of his teammates sort of remarked to me, you know, he would make a lot of jokes that you wouldn't catch, you know, that you really had to be sort of listening to him closely. But for the most part, I found him to be not a spotlight seeker, a guy who really was trying to fit in and prove his value to the team and be embraced in what at the time was one of the most alpha locker rooms in the NFL.
When you went to speak to him, this was on the cusp of the film coming out. What is the story of him as portrayed in that film?
The basic beats are right, that he came from an incredibly disadvantaged household, living in poverty in sort of like a council housing, I guess you would say, in the Memphis, Tennessee area. You know, an absentee father, a mother who had substance addiction, and that, you know, Leanne Toohey, who is portrayed by Sandra Bullock in the film, you know, happens to be out driving one night on a rainy night and happens upon Michael, by this point, towards the tail end of high school, on the side of the road, you know, takes him in, dusts him off, and decides that she is going to play a role in giving him a brighter future. And of course, that comes totally through tapping into his incredible football potential.
It's mine?
Yes, sir. What?
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
What did he think of the film? How did he talk about it?
Well, I was warned before I came to speak to him that there was a strong chance that he would shut down in the interview if I spent too much time talking about The Blind Side, because he was already uncomfortable with the way he was portrayed in the book, and that the film threatened to blow up those uncomfortable elements a hundredfold.
What was it about Michael, though, Leanne, that made you want to have Sean stop the car and go and get him?
You know, if I knew the answer to that, that'd be worth $1 million. Michael was there. He had a need. We had the ability to fill it. We all fell madly in love with him within probably 48 hours, and he was just an instant part of this family.
And then, you know, who are the Toohey family, the family that play this heroic and very stylized role in the film?
So the Toohey's are a prominent family in Memphis.
Here's this black kid. You take him into your home, great big hulking black guy. I mean, did you feel concerned about that?
Well, No. It may be of obvious proportions when you look at Michael. To us, it just didn't seem that important.
Sean Toohey has a distinction of being like one of the best college basketball players in the history of the University of Mississippi. And he went on to, with his wife, Leanne, build a successful sort of fast food franchise. I believe they were KFC Taco Bell franchisees. This is a family that has tremendous influence in Memphis, outsized influence at the University of Mississippi, where they are their boosters.
What is a booster?
That would be somebody who plays a role in recruiting players to the University of Mississippi and fundraising for the athletics department.
The Baltimore Ravens select Michael Orr, offensive tackle, Mississippi.
So tell me about that career that he would go on to have. He played 8 seasons. He appeared in 2 Super Bowls. He won one of them. I mean, he was a huge success.
He was incredibly successful.
And Michael Orr, the rookie right tackle, caught it.
You know, it's a guy who has a story, is incredibly overhyped, and faces nothing but pressure to meet those immense expectations.
Good job by Michael Orr being alert. The arm was coming forward.
The latest and greatest generation of players at his positions. And while he didn't have, you know, like a Hall of Fame career. He still played an incredibly long time, won a Super Bowl in two appearances.
And the Ravens have won it 34-31.
Anything's possible. My background is no bad background, and you know, a lot of people said I couldn't do it. You can do anything if you put your mind to it.
By any standard metric, he met, you know, sort of like the base level expectations set out for him.
This picture of an emotional Leanne Toohey hugging her adopted son, Big Mike, who some neighbors felt that she and her family should have never taken in.
He was just so excited, and I was just sobbing. I mean, I was absolutely sobbing.
And now he's a Super Bowl champion.
Now we won the Super Bowl!
Drew, from the outside, the story of Michael Orr and the Toohey family, it looks like a fairy tale. When does this all begin to turn a little bit sour?
A number of years after Michael enters the league and establishes himself, he writes a book in an attempt to retake the narrative of his life story. And in that book, he does explicitly say that, you know, the arrangement that he has with the Toohey's is a conservatorship. But, you know, reading it, I believe that his understanding of it, or general understanding of it, is that this is just another form of adoption.
Michael, we have something we'd like to ask you.
What?
Well, Leanne and I, we'd like to become your legal guardians.
What's that mean?
What it means is that we want to know if you would like to become part of this family.
Kind of thought I already was.
Throughout that, publicly, the Toohey's, who have gone on to found a multi-million dollar foundation on the back of the profile that gained from this wildly successful film, in their speaking engagements, in their own book, they refer to Michael as their son and categorize their relationship to him as an adoption.
You know, we're leaving the door wherever God takes us.
Well, you know, we didn't go out to adopt. That's right. We get a lot of credit for that, which is great. Keep giving us that. But truth is, you know, I tease people. We weren't really happy with the two we had. We sure weren't going after another one. But really, we feel, and it's the only explanation that makes any sense, is we feel Michael was sent to us.
So, you know, for all the world, he's a vested member of their family.
So can you explain the difference to us? I mean, what is the difference between adoption and a conservatorship of the kind that famously Britney Spears was under for 10 years and that became such a high-profile campaign to try to free her from? What is a conservatorship?
So an adoption would be them entering a legal agreement in which the law recognizes Michael as their son, entitled to whatever, you know, the resources, protections, etc., that would be treated as a dependent in their family, as a next of kin, all the rest of it. And a conservatorship just basically twists that to say that this is a person who's has some sort of like physical or mental incapacity to make important decisions for themselves. So we will make those decisions on their behalf. The key difference between the two things is that in a conservatorship, it's a one-way street. So Britney Spears' father, in that case, was able to make legally binding agreements on her behalf that generated money and entitled him to a percentage of that money as her conservator, and also to be paid as, you know, the director of her conservatorship. It's a top-down relationship as opposed to a symbiotic one.
Okay, so At the time, there's a pretty wide gap between the way that this story is portrayed to the public and the legal arrangements that are really at play in the relationship between Michael Orr and the Tuohys. But at the time, Michael seems to be okay with the conservatorship. He continues to thank the family publicly. He's at the peak of his NFL career. And then in the last few months, that seems to change. Tell me about that.
Since the Free Britney, hashtag Free Britney movement, we now know that a conservatorship is way different from an adoption. And I think as he got deeper in his career, got older especially, he began to question why this type of arrangement and not an adoption, one. And two, how he was still under a conservatorship well into his 30s.
So he's 37 years old now, and you're telling me he's still under this conservatorship?
I'm telling you exactly that. He is still in the conservatorship.
Well, today, Michael Orr, the former NFL player that movie's based on, said most of it is a lie.
The world found out about this in early August when he filed a lawsuit in Tennessee against the Tuohys.
In court documents, Orr alleging he and the Tuohys signed what he thought were adoption papers in 2004 after he had turned 18.
Basically asking to be released from this covenant and also for money that the family generated through the production of the film.
The legal petition indicates that he wants that conservatorship to end, and also he's asking that the family, the Tuohys, stop using his name and likeness, and also to pay him his fair share from the profits they could have made from using his name.
And he explicitly says that because of the conservatorship, they took the liberty to sign away his life rights and cut him out of participating in the future profits of the book and the film.
Interesting. So not only is he stung by the fact that the arrangement he's in is actually nothing like an adoption, but that these people who have been like parents to him, he thinks have actually been exploiting him. They've been making money off his story and keeping him in a legal arrangement where he can't say, hey, this is my money too. I should get a slice of it.
Right. Not only is it not my money, but it's not even my story anymore. Like, he can't even go out and make another film about himself because the Tuohys technically, at least according to his claim, sold off his life rights already. So some studio is holding on to that.
They tricked him into making the family his conservators instead, and that they made millions off his name from a movie that, you see the quote here, that would not have existed without him.
I do believe that Michael's claims to like these massive millions of dollars that the family took in may be, you know, sort of like over-imagined, just to, sort of like from what we know of the film business. I mean, Michael Lewis, who wrote the best-selling book that the movie is based on, has come out and said, you know, like he only made 70 grand from his cut of that deal. So I don't think that Michael will have much of a forensic accounting boost there. But there's no doubt that the prominence that the film gave to the Tuohys sort of added value to their existing business and to their nonprofit.
So here's this large African-American young man in a lily white neighborhood. He's inappropriately dressed for the weather. It's a holiday. I was like, what's the deal? And so I turned to my husband and I said, turn around.
Platform for Leanne Tuohy to tour as a public speaker and charge, you know, anywhere from $15,000 to $50,000 for a speaking appearance.
We pulled up next to Michael. I got out of the car just like the movie showed, and I said, hey, I'm Leanne Tuohy. My kids go to school with you. I said, where are you going?
What does the Tuohy family say in response to this lawsuit?
The Tuohys have said that they split like $225,000 between the five of them, and they said that they have tried to distribute Michael's share to him, and that he has refused it.
The Tuohys attorney calling the accusations hurtful and absurd, telling ABC News the notion they would connive to withhold a few thousand dollars in profit participation payments from anyone, let alone from someone they loved as a son, defies belief.
Yes, it's, you know, they're the seven stages of grief. You know, they started out by expressing their, you know, shock and dismay.
The family made famous in the Oscar-winning film Blindsided by what they call a ludicrous lawsuit filed by Michael Orr.
These people are truly devastated. I mean, this was their son.
The Tuohy family attorney speaking out tonight.
And then went right from that to anger and called it a shakedown, and that they vowed to protect their name and reputation, which is ironic because that's exactly what Michael is pursuing as well.
Sean and Leanne Tuohy are both firing back this morning, saying Michael Orr attempted to extort them for $15 million before the former NFL player filed the petition, alleging that instead of legally adopting him, the couple tricked him into making them his conservators in order to earn millions.
But the one thing that they acknowledge, even amidst their furious reaction to the lawsuit, is that Michael is indeed in a conservatorship. And for a family that has been saying for the last 15 years that he's their adopted child, I feel like that's a major concession and lends a lot of credence to the claims that Michael makes in his case.
And have they agreed at least that he should be released from this arrangement? He should be able to regain the right to act as like an independently legal person, as a 37-year-old who's already had one successful career behind him.
A 37-year-old with a successful career, who's written two books, who's married with kids. I mean, it's incredible that they still have this hold on him. But yes, they did acknowledge the conservatorship and agreed to dissolve it.
The Tuohys denying taking one penny from the arrangement, adding should Mr. Orr wish to terminate the conservatorship, either now or at any time in the future, the Tuohys will never oppose it in any way.
To me, that doesn't address the fundamental problem of, you know, this kid's relationship to you. And, you know, are you going to mend fences and adopt him, you know, properly adopt him and make some sort of restitution? Or are you just going to cut ties and call it a day?
Coming up, would a film like The Blind Side still be made today?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What do you think the impact of this fame, of having this version of his story become world famous, what impact has this all had on the life of Michael Orr?
Perceptions about his intelligence never leave. You know, even as he's proven himself, he's gone to Super Bowls, he's started for teams, there's still evaluators in the NFL who doubt his ability to synthesize and master complex pro schemes and play at a high level because of a movie that they saw 10 years ago.
I mean, in the public imagination, it's almost like no matter the reality of him, the reality of his story, he's always going to be the kid who could barely read or write at age 18, who, in fact, in the movie, had to be taught how to play football by the Tuohy's youngest son, while in reality, he was already recognized as a real prodigy before he even met the family.
Right, right.
Now, see, this just means that you're going to block whoever's in front of you or on your inside shoulder.
There are many cringeworthy scenes in that movie, but something about their elementary school age son teaching this high school football player how to play on the offensive line using kitchen condiments on their table. You know, it's disgusting, frankly.
Now, I'll be the running back, and you show me what you're supposed to do. Ready? Hi.
You know, the family takes him in because he's an athletic prodigy. You know, doesn't understand, like, the fundamental rules of his sport. It's crazy.
If you could go back and change, rewrite that movie in any way, what would you do?
What's missing is a kid that was already on a path, and he was well on his way, and a lot of the hard work from 3 years old to 18 is when I moved in with the family.
Mm-hmm.
In less than a year, and I was off to college. A lot of hard work taken from me. My back was against the wall all my life. From the time I was 3 years old, my first memory is being homeless. 3 to 10, that was in and out of foster care, shelters, on the streets.
Why do you think the film was made that way? Why do you think this was the version of the story that the public and the critics wanted so badly to be true?
The obvious story may be the easiest to appeal to the widest possible audience, and you gotta make it about the personal story. Beyond that, I think, you know, America loves a white savior story. They love a story about, you know, that sort of subverts the idea of this country and its, you know, institutional racism, when there's like a lone white figure who actually makes a bond with somebody in the black community and improves their life for the better. We've seen it in The Help, The Green Book, The Green Mile. The list goes on and on about these movies about you know, Driving Miss Daisy. Like, this is a very well-worn film trope, but the Blind Side sort of took it to, you know, its umpteenth potential. You know, this little old middle-aged Southern belle taking in this enormous black guy and, you know, teaching him how to be a Hulk on the football field is just a really, you know, it's never been stretched thinner.
I think what you're doing is so great. To open up your home to him, honey, you're changing that boy's life.
No.
In the years since this film came out, there's been this growing awareness of the pernicious problem of discrimination in American life, I mean, all around the world. Do you think this same kind of film would be made again today?
Oh, I think it could absolutely be made again today. I think, I think it could easily be made again today. And I think it would split the country between, you know, the people who sort of see it for what it is and the stereotypes that it means to perpetuate and deepen. And I think there'd be another section of the country that would think it's like an incredibly heartwarming story, and that Orr's lawsuit is basically a case of, like, no good deed goes unpunished. So if anything, the naysayers would be much more vocal now than we were at the time. But, you know, we were definitely naysaying when this film came out, when the book came out. So, yeah.
Yeah, so The Blind Side 2 coming to a cinema near you.
It would not shock me at all. Yeah.
Drew, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Andrew Lawrence, a senior features writer with Guardian US, and his coverage of this lawsuit is at theguardian.com. And that is it for today. This episode was produced by Sammy Kent. Sound design was by Solomon King. The executive producer was Elizabeth Casson, and we'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work.
Shopify.com/work.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.